everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Did you get that snack I was talking about? I didn't, and I really wish I did because I'm hungry, and now I'm just going to get a lot hungrier. That's what happens when you talk about food. Yep, you get hungry. But we only talk about good food, and talking about good food is not going to harm you if you're only talking. But eating good food is good for you, too, not just talking, but eating. All right, I wanted to remind you one more time. Well, maybe not one more time. I might do this a few more times. But spin over to responsibilityandliving.com and view when you get a chance the Real Good News and Review, the Chocolate Report, our Transition Kitchen, and the Transition Kitchen Food Show is really a lot of fun. Gary makes a spicy marinara and a cashew cream bechamel, and it goes into a luscious lasagna. It's a really wonderful treat. And for people that are not plant-based, this is something you can make that they would really, really love. It's so good. Now, let's go on and get into the love relation with our food and talk to Christina Ross, who's an ambassador of healthy living, a dynamic, conscious recipe and product creator, educator of vitality through the art of eating and living vibrantly, a freelance writer and blogger. Her recipes and helpful lifestyle tips have been published in Natural Child World magazine through her column Love Fed. Christina also contributes recipes and articles to popular sites and works such as rawfoodrecipes.com, Clean Food Living, Vegan Food Share, Organic Soul, SheKnows.com, Just Eat Real Food, RawGuru.com, and Chris Carr's MyCrazySexyLife.com. Christina keeps many of her fans full of nutrient-rich content through her blog, love-fed.com, and through television appearances, which have taken her to Today, Good Day Chicago, as well as San Diego Living. And you can find more at love-fed.com. Christina, how are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad we were able to connect.
And yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have some lovely, delicious treats in your book, Love Fed. As it says, purely decadent, simply raw. And one of the things that I like to say when I'm talking about raw food is the raw food cuisine really is the most exciting when it comes to desserts.
I agree.
Yeah, and they're like sinful, but they're not. They're just made with whole foods.
Yeah. They're really, it's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with fruits and vegetables and turn them into cakes and cupcakes and ice cream.
It is pretty amazing. And I was just talking about in the last half hour is the human culture continues to change when it comes to food. We've eaten just about anything, and we who knows what we'll be eating in the future. and it's not even clear if there is one, if there's an ideal collection of foods, although everyone agrees that we should be eating more plant foods. But we've gotten away from eating whole foods and eating more industrial foods and a lot of flour baking-based foods. And I love getting back to, or maybe not getting back to, jumping forward to the raw cuisine, making some things that are somewhat familiar but new, crusts and creams, all from delicious whole plant foods.
Absolutely. And just amazing, you know, we can have a craving for something like a tiramisu and find new ways of recreating those recipes to really fit where we are consciously, what our bodies are craving and needing for vitality and energetically. So it's pretty incredible that we're at this place of going back to simple foods, such as whole foods, that provide us with all of this nourishment as opposed to all the processed ingredients that we've become accustomed to for so long.
Now, someone who's familiar with kind of standard American cuisine, standard European cuisine with baking, I think the foundation consists of white flour, white milk, eggs, and white sugar.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are the counterparts in your style of preparing desserts?
I'd say nuts replace the flour by grinding them down into a flour consistency. Coconut oil replaces the butter. Coconut milk, almond milk, cashew milk, any type of nut milk alternatives replaces the dairy in the dessert. And for binders, we can use different ingredients like dates or maple syrup, agave nectar, different type of sweeteners to kind of hold and bind all of the crust ingredients together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think once we kind of accept that little switch, it all becomes quite simple.
Yes, yeah, and a lot of these ingredients, you know, we have on hand at home. We just don't ever look at a banana and think, I'm going to make a whole pie using that banana as the main star ingredient. So it's really just kind of reshaping the way that we look at our fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and kind of getting extra creative with them.
Now, most of the recipes have ingredients that most of us are familiar with, but there are some that I haven't heard of very much, and maybe we could talk about some of them, like lucuma.
Yes, lucuma is it's really amazing because in Peru, it's kind of as common as chocolate and vanilla is here to us in the States. So it's a staple Peruvian fruit, and it has a really sweet caramel-like taste. So if it's something that you're not used to having in your diet, it's really interesting to play around with if you're really into the plant foods and you're looking for that caramel substitute or that butterscotch type of flavor that you want to impart into a dessert, then that's a really excellent option that you can add in there.
And where do we find it?
So that's available, I mean, easiest would be to find it online. I love using my superfoods from Essential Living Foods. So you can find ingredients from them that are the harder to find superfoods. You could also find it at a health food store pretty easily. A lot of times you see, if you are shopping in a health food store, you're in the raw vegan aisle, you'll see that lucuma is usually mixed into different protein powders or chocolate bars and things of this nature. And, again, it's because it pairs so well with dessert.
So when you get it alone, is it already processed? Is it a powder? Is it a liquid? How do you get it?
It comes in powder form. So you can start tossing it into smoothies and shakes. Or I like to blend it in with the cashews on the base of my cake recipes. And it just, again, it provides that extra sweet note in there, but not too sweet.
Well, there are so many varieties of fruits on this planet. And, I mean, I love apples and pears and bananas. Those are my staples, oranges, grapefruits. You know, they're the least expensive and they're what's available. But when you travel the world and you discover all these other fruits that are out there, it's the tip of the iceberg. So you've got this one product that has some really lovely flavor, and how many other products are out there that we're missing?
It's just incredible opens up to us when we travel in terms of food. So yeah.
So there's actually there's things to look forward to in the plant kingdom, because most of us who've been eating plant-based for so long probably haven't even experienced. There's so many other flavors out there that we've yet to taste. I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. Now, I still go to the grocery store and I wonder, what is that new exotic fruit that they have? So, yeah.
Well, it depends on where you live. Now, for those of us who live in, like, New York or California or some other places, Chicago, big cities, our grocery stores tend to have a lot more variety, but there are other places where the variety is not as abundant.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Irish moss. Now, in your book, you rehydrate it from dry. It's a seaweed, right?
Yes, yeah. And
A sea vegetable.
And you do. You want to hydrate it because that's what's going to give your dessert that creamy, fluffy texture. It's not a necessity to have this ingredient. When I first started making raw desserts, I never used it. I was able to get by without it, but then I wanted to take my desserts to the next level, and I think that this is one of those next level ingredients that if you're really coming at it from a chef standpoint, you want to really achieve that perfect, smooth, creamy texture that also has a structure whenever you take it out of a cake mold, then that would be the ingredient to help you achieve that. And it's pretty neat because it's a sea vegetable, and it comes with all of the sand and the smell of the sea right straight out of the bag, and you're like, how in the world is this going to work in a dessert? And then when you hydrate it and you blend it into a cake filling or a pudding filling, let's say, it's just miraculous how you don't taste this vegetable, and it just adds this magical creaminess to your recipe. So,
well, that was what I was going to ask you. It doesn't have a fishy flavor?
No, and it originally does when you take it out of the pouch, and it's very light in scent, but it actually carries over no odor or flavor once you soak it.
I had Irish moss in powder form, and I rarely used it because it gave a very nice texture, but it also gave a fishy flavor.
Interesting.
Have you ever used it as a powder?
Yes, the flakes. I think you referred, like the little.
Oh, they were powder. Black. It was a powder.
Oh no, I've never used the powder before.
Okay, well, you're now going to reconsider Irish moss because. I had used this very fishy-tasting powder. It was quite unpleasant, so I'm kind of curious to use the kind that you've used.
Yes, and that you can find at most Whole Foods and health food stores. You can definitely find it online, but it's just something that's so unique to play around with. Whenever I have it soaking on my counter and friends come over, I'm like, what in the world are you going to do with that ingredient? And they're usually just so marveled at the fact that that went into their cake, and it's incredible. It's really fun to play with texturally too. If you're one who's not scared of learning about new ingredients and how to incorporate new ingredients into your repertoire, then it's a super fun one to have on hand.
And it makes it works almost like a gel or a foamy gel.
It gives the recipe more of a gelatinous texture, I would say.
All right, then another thing that I really appreciated was your conversation about food coloring. I'm horrified by artificial food coloring that so many people, especially parents of young children, use in all of the treats. It's horrifying. You gave some good recommendations about how to color some of your food naturally.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of times when we just blend, like, raspberries into a cashew coconut cream base, it's going to turn purple, or blueberries blue. And, yeah, we can just use our natural fruits and veggies for most of the coloring. And then if not, we can get extra creative and use something like a matcha green tea powder, which is pretty easy to find, that you can just use to color dishes green, and carrot juice for orange, and beets just work magic on most anything that you want to add their juice to. So, yeah, I have a son, and I wouldn't think to feed him any of these artificial colorants, not knowing what they are, but definitely knowing that they are harmful to his health. And it's just amazing to actually see him eat real food that's just colored so vibrantly just from nature itself. So, you know, I don't think he would ever ask me for that, you know, bright orange thing that wasn't straight from nature, I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm always so surprised at where we've gone with all these industrial foods when we have this Garden of Eden to go to. So many fruits and roots and things that have such strong, beautiful colors, and they're good for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Now, are you all raw? Do you eat an all raw diet?
No, I like to eat cooked food a lot of times too. But I eat a lot of raw foods. I think that they make me feel my most optimal best. And when the weather cools down, I definitely love to bake on occasion. And I love a variety of foods.
I think if we're going to eat desserts, they should be these raw desserts.
I agree.
Yeah, I do. Because they satisfy the sweet craving, and yet they're just food. They're just whole food. Now, I have two or three recipes I wanted to mention. One is the mini cinni rolls.
Mm. Yeah, those are decadent. And the beauty of just something like a mini cinni roll is they're mini because that's all you need. They're so dense with nutrition that you really don't need to eat a big jumbo cinnamon roll when you have these type of raw desserts, because every bite is so full of nutrition that you get full actually quite fast. Even if you're not somebody who eats a whole lot of raw foods, I think you'll just find that the nutrient density just tends to send signals in the body to say, hey, I'm actually satisfied.
Yeah, you can eat a lot of these foods, and that's good. But what I like about this recipe is how you created an actual roll. You really worked well with your dough, which is that nut base that you could mold.
That, mm-hmm. And that you can you could take a rolling pin to. That's what I did for that recipe. So yeah, you could really shape this dough just as you would be able to shape other dough. And I was actually, for this book, I was able to create pretzels even, which I kind of shocked myself with that one because I had the idea. I was like, I wonder if I could get this so workable that I could make a pretzel out of the dough. And, sure
donuts.
Enough,
made donuts.
Yeah. And donuts. Yes.
Now, you have a business and you sell some of these raw pastries?
Yes. Yep.
And I'm just curious, and maybe other people are curious, how do you go about starting a business for food? There are so many challenges, and I know in the different states, the laws aren't the same. I'm not quite sure. You're in California, right?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you get started?
I basically just didn't take no for an answer. The director of the health department lives right across the street from me. I went to him for questions and advice on starting it up, and it sounded like I was never going to be able to get started with the information based on the laws here in California and not having a big budget to start. And I just kept persevering, just finding out other options that were available and found myself a shared commercial kitchen that at the time was legal to be able to sell to serving retailers, but not necessarily bigger retailers like Costco and things like that. But it was good enough to get me into Whole Foods and farmers markets and just that kind of giving my start. But I just think the biggest thing was just believing that I could do it and just knowing that I had to get these products out there because there were people like myself who wanted alternatives in the market and there just weren't any products that were going to satisfy those needs. So I had a strong will to have to get these out and didn't take no for an answer.
And what are the most popular of your creations that people ask for?
I would say it's the most favored raspberry macadamia cake. I actually just served that at the launch party, and again, time after time, everybody tells me that that's their favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The Carrot Collective cupcakes are another favorite. Those sold really, really well. And the kids love the blueberry dreamsicles. So there's babies as young as 1 year old that just gobble down the blueberry dreamsicles. So I think that those are really special. And I'm a fan of the really creamy Boston cream cups because they remind me of my childhood. So I think that those are really fun. And the banana toffee pie is another favorite because people are like, you can make that beautiful of a pie just using those few ingredients. And yes, you can.
Yes. I know. We're just so dumb, most of us, what we do. We don't know what we're eating. We don't know what's in our food, and we have no imagination. But we're learning, right?
The imagination part, and that's what this book shows. Like all throughout the book, it just encourages others to just get inspired and channel their intuition when they're in the kitchen, listen to what their body's asking of them, and kind of incorporate that into the treat that they're making.
One of the things that I like are the pies. And I like making all kinds of pies. I make traditional pies with flour foods as well as raw pies. But they're almost, what's the word I'm looking for? They're foolproof.
Mm-hmm,
because a flour dough sometimes can be so finicky to roll and handle. And, you know, for the most part, I mean, you said you rolled your nut-based dough for the mini cine rolls. But most of the time you just blend these things up in a food processor and just press it in. It's the easiest thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And no bacon, your crust is done in just a matter of a couple of minutes. So I think it's genius in a way. Like, I don't have to worry if I'm going to burn my crust or if it's not going to not as crispy as I like it. So, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to burn it or it doesn't fall. It's just perfect every time. Gosh, I love that.
Stress-free.
What did you say?
Stress-free.
Stress-free. Yeah, that's
what it is. Yeah. Yeah, it makes it taste even better that way.
Okay, now, does your husband eat the way you do?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's of French origin.
Yes, he's from Paris, so he's got a love of pastry.
And he eats plant-based.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And did he do that before he met you?
No, when we met, we both gravitated toward it at the same time and just kind of motivated and experimented together, and it just became our lifestyle. So really very early on in our relationship, we both adopted this way of eating, and it was pretty incredible to go through this transition with somebody so new to my life. And it actually, I think it had us grow an even stronger bond together, just kind of experimenting and exploring the mind-body-food connection. So it was pretty incredible. I recommend it to all couples.
I love hearing this because I lived in the south of France from 1992 to 1996 as a vegan, and I never met another vegetarian. People were very good to me, my friends. They would make me some wonderful foods, but it was like vegetarians didn't exist there, and it's so intense with the culture, the animal-related foods in France, the cuisine capital of the world, that it's really, really hard. So I'm always delighted when I hear French people that are moving towards plant foods. And I think it was in around 2005 or so, I went to the Veggie Pride Parade in Paris. It was like 2 or 3 years old at the time. And it was such a delight to come back and see all of these veggie activists that had come out of the closet to march. And we have our own Veggie Pride Parade now in Manhattan that's taking place this weekend.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. When I travel back to France, we like to go about every other year and just to see the growth and development of even the raw vegan foods that are now available, the fully vegan cupcake shops, the fully vegan patisseries. So it's remarkable just how much the plant awareness has grown there as well.
Now, what about cheese? Is he managing without cheese, or are you making some nut-based cheeses?
Yeah, we make nut-based cheeses, but he's a rare exception. You know, he's never really been big into wine and cheese, so we always say he's the most non-French person we know.
Okay, that's what's going on here.
But he loves the nut cheeses and all of those things a million times over than the Brie de Meaux or anything that he grew up having.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for the day when all of these great cheese makers in Camembert and Brie and all of these locations in France start to make cheese not just from animal milk, but from nut milks. And how it's going to happen, and it's going to be so exciting because, like I was talking about with fruit, there's all these flavors we have yet to experience that are out there that are not only good for us, but delicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dreaming of these future cheeses.
I wanted to thank you for joining me. I love the title, Love Fed. I mean, that's what it really should all be about, love.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, so thank you for that. And thanks for joining me on It's All About Food.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Christina Ross, the author of Love Fed. And if you have a sweet tooth and you can't get over it, this is a really great book to make wonderful desserts that are plant-based from whole plant foods, really creative, and they don't look too complicated, believe me, delicious. And just a minute or so left. I mentioned the Veggie Pride Parade. We will be there on Sunday. And I'll be speaking and exhibiting. So if you are going to the Veggie Pride Parade, go to veggieprideparade.org. It's in Manhattan. You can get all the details there and say hi. And then get your tickets to the Happy Earth Day Review, my birthday party and fundraiser for responsible eating and living. Go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. And please let me know what you think of the Real Good News in Review, all the parts. We've got some promos and food show, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'd love to hear what you think about it. Meanwhile, I'm also continuing with the What Vegans Eat blog. Oh, you know what? I just realized, oh, my goodness, just a minute left to go. Today is my six-year anniversary on It's All About Food. I was thinking about it a little while ago, and today is the day. It's been 6 years I've been talking about my favorite subject, food, on this show. So, whoo, let's celebrate, shall we? Oh, thanks for joining me on this special anniversary show. I didn't even realize it until just now. Well, it's been fun, but I was telling you I'm continuing with my What Vegans Eat blog, and we're on day 41, and that's how somehow I thought about my anniversary here. And that's it. Okay. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for celebrating with me. And contact me at info@realmeals.org. I'd love to hear from you sometime soon. And remember, have a delicious week.